Weekend Mornings with Glenn Van Zutphen. Replay from Money FM 89.3.
So happy to have Uma Rudd Chia in the studio today. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. Very good.
You know, I think the rain outside has also affected our technology here in the studio, or maybe just the technology operator, namely me. But anyway, great to have you with us today.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Really happy.
Uma, you know, coming in this morning, I was thinking about our talk today, and you are really heavily focused on what we do in this age of technology, in an age where, you know, we hear the buzzwords AI, machine learning, and not just buzzwords, but, you know, every day it's impacting us in some way, in many positive ways, right? When you look at this technological environment that we're in today, this is something that's really interesting and important to you, and that you've taken a lot of time to think about it. How is technology impacting us as human beings today? What kind of pressure is it putting on us?
I think the most obvious and evident one is in our jobs, right? So automation with artificial intelligence, we're always so worried that machines, smart machines, are going to take over our jobs.
Yeah.
The reality is, you know, even Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos said this, in 30 years, it's not an if, it's a when our jobs are going to be taken over. But we always think that unemployment is going to be the biggest crisis. We're going to lose our jobs. And, oh, my God, we won't have money. How are we going to take care of our children? You know, put a roof over our wives' heads. How are we going to do or our husbands' heads? Because, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah. It's the new millennium. Sure, everything
can
happen.
Yes. And how's that going to happen? But really, because everything's going to be so cheap and machines are going to create things so efficiently, that's not going to be the crisis. According to Elon, he says that people are going to be on a minimum wage, right? So you're going to be taken care of. But the greatest crisis for humanity is because we spend so many hours and work on building, you know, our career and our next title and that big, shiny designation. What happens when we lose that job title? Where will we find our value and worth? Who are we outside of our jobs? I think we need to discover our full person and our full potential as a human being, not just those words on our business cards, to future-proof ourselves and our existence.
Because we often see when, you know, when you are at a business event or a social event and somebody says, so, you know, what's your name or what do you do? And you're, I'm so-and-so of so-and-so company, or I do this at this company or that organization. And people are very, and then interestingly, if they ever lose their job or they transition to a new job, it's almost like they're lost because they don't know how to introduce themselves.
Yeah,
and usually they say, well, formerly I was with so-and-so for however
the
many
artist
years.
Formerly known as.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, people do, I think, and of course, they relate to the job that they have or had, which of course is kind of, I guess, obvious because we spend a lot of time at work and that's a huge part of our lives. But how do you get people to look beyond that? How do you get them to, as you say, kind of look at the whole person?
There are three key principles I'd like to bring to the table today.
Sure.
The first is you need to bring your all to the table. Sheryl Sandberg said, you know, she used to tell women to take your place at the table.
Right.
I think that's not enough. I think we need to bring every aspect of ourselves to the table, right? The mother, the wife, the creative director, the singer, every part of you. A classic example is, I remember when I was at Saatchi and I was asked to come in and brainstorm with a bunch of people for a global diaper campaign. And when I sat at the table, I looked around me, there were all these men who have never changed a diaper in their lives. And then there were these young girls who obviously Googled, you know, for ideas because they had not changed a diaper, no, touched
too
a baby
young,
in their
too
lives.
Young to be moms, yeah.
So I sat there and as they were sharing their ideas, I started thinking, no, these sound logical, but they're Googled. And then I thought about my experience, my struggle, my vulnerability as a mom. I remember thinking, what have I done when I had my son? And that was after 9 years of hard trying. Thinking, oh, my God, this is crazy, you know. And the insight for me was that, don't worry, my mom told me, your child's being a baby for the first time, too.
Yeah, interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
So he has no clue you're screwing it up. So that was my insight. You're both in it for
the
first time.
What a supportive mom you have, right?
Yeah, I know. You're both in it for the first time.
Don't worry. Yeah. You're all messing it up.
So the thing was, the insight came because it wasn't the creative director who came to the table and cracked that insight. It was the vulnerable, scared mom who brought that in. So we need to bring all that because you never know which part of you is going to seal the deal. The ad became number 3 on Super Bowl, by the way.
Wow, so, awesome. Yeah. We're speaking with Uma Rudchia, who is a global keynote speaker, best-selling author, award-winning creative director. But, you know, that is hard for us, for most of us, to open up and to show some of those vulnerable sides. And I think the mindset is, if, you know, in the corporate setting, if I show that I'm vulnerable, somebody's going to use that as a weakness against me, you know, in the corporate ladder, the climb, the fight, whatever it is. So how do we use that vulnerability in a way that's not going to perhaps threaten us or our jobs? Is there a way to look at doing that, or is that just situational depending on who you are and where you are?
I think it, in a lot of ways, okay, I'm a creative director, so half the time I'm also presenting ideas in front of people who are going to judge those ideas, tear them apart, and tell me why parts of them don't work.
Right.
I try and mush idea A and B, which I don't think should be together. So I think vulnerability takes practice.
Hmm.
I don't think you will lose by being vulnerable, honestly, because what you're being is sincere and truthful.
Hmm.
And while there will always be people taking advantage of it, as a human being, when you let your guard down and show who you are, I think you're going to win. Because you will discover and be able to express and access a part of yourself that you never could access before because you're too scared to do something.
So that is an easy thing to say here on the radio.
Yes, it is.
By the way, talking to Uma Rudchia, global keynote speaker. But in reality, if someone is afraid to be vulnerable like that, you know, what's a sort of an easy first step to take toward that vulnerability or opening up, not just being vulnerable, but opening up who they are, what their skills are, what their talents are?
Do one small thing that makes you feel uncomfortable. One small thing. And then see how people react. And that small thing can actually, after a while, that small thing becomes your normal.
Mm.
You've normalized it, and they expect it from you.
You know, these days, and over the past, let's say, year or year and a half, this whole idea of women becoming more visible, vocal, speaking, and, of course, board roles and all these—
Decision-making roles,
Decision-making roles in companies and all of the stuff that is absolutely appropriate. But it works both, not only for women, the types of things you're talking about, this vulnerability, but also for men, too, because a lot of men are not willing to open up and share, especially in a corporate setting, something that might be perceived as a weakness.
Yeah. You know, when I was at Ogilvy, we did a social experiment, right, where we had a bunch of adjectives, and vulnerability, empathy, those were adjectives that we also had. They were classified as male and female, and people started picking out those adjectives for what makes a good leader. Mm. And strangely, they gravitated towards vulnerability, empathy, attributes that you think are more female.
Yeah.
So, and these are what they say they expect from their leaders and people who lead them. So when you were saying, oh, you know, it's also for men. Yes, if you are going to be a leader or a speaker or someone who stands up there in a position of authority and tries to influence people, I think these are the characteristics that are going to make you more appealing to people, you know, make people trust you. It's different from a leader who's leading and has all the right words to say and leads with authority versus a leader who makes the followers want to follow because they trust you, because you built that bridge.
We're not just talking necessarily only about being vulnerable, but exploring these different parts of our personality, either our personal personality or our work personality, to get the most out of who we are and to help define us in this age of machines potentially taking over our jobs or our industries as we get older. What do you feel like is the timeline for people before we really see artificial intelligence and technology digging deep into jobs, you know, into jobs and taking away jobs? And will that technology also prompt some new jobs, perhaps that we haven't thought of. So we're not necessarily losing jobs, but maybe changing or shifting jobs into new territory.
That's, wow, that's a big, huge question.
I know, and
that you've
please
asked
answer
me
in 30 seconds or less. No, just kidding.
You know,
but I mean, are we right on the edge right now where people
we are,
really need to?
I think we are right on the edge. I think there are like still some blue oceans areas. For example, if you're in a creative line, that's the area that AI cannot instinctively overtake humans because because we're still creating.
Yeah.
But having said that, anything that has to do with processes, anything that has to do with methods, or anything that has to do with taking data, learning, and doing better at it, law, you know, and surgery, being a doctor, medical practices, I think AI can do that really well at the moment. So when I was younger, those were like the coveted jobs. No more. I think when it comes to making movies and directing and writing poetry, I mean, it's a little bit harder. There is this GPT-2. I don't know whether you've heard of GPT-2.
What's that?
So it's a neural network that actually creates speech. Like it, you put in a line and it's able to create a prose from that line, like a clever prose. Right now it sounds like a drunken Irishman writing, but it's there. And friends of mine recently just developed artificial intelligence gin.
Huh?
Gin. Yes,
in,
alcohol. Like,
as in the drink.
Yeah, as in the drink. Huh. So they used a neural network called Jeanette. It was Jeanette. In the UK. It was
That's
all over the papers. So I ordered some.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll let you try some.
Yes, I would like some of those.
But even
it
that
is 5 o'clock somewhere in the world.
Yes,
I guess we could
start
early. But
so even that's being taken over by artificial intelligence. I don't think, like I said, it's not about being worried about our jobs being taken over. They will at some point. It's about what do you do then? Who are you?
Right. And you mentioned a couple of initial steps that people could take. For example, how they describe themselves on their LinkedIn profile was one that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Tell us, are there one or two steps like that people can take today to try to dig deeper into who they are and also show who they are to others?
Yeah.
What could they do?
So I think, firstly, hold more than one job. So when I say hold more than one job, I'm not saying go out there and do 50 things that's going to earn you money.
Yeah.
Do the things you love that pay you in different ways, because currency doesn't just have to be money. For me, like, I'm a creative director. Okay, I make money out of it. I'm a keynote speaker. Sometimes I make money out of it. Sometimes I do it because I want to spread my message out there, and that satisfies me. And I'm also a singer. I sing. I sing in a band.
That's right.
I sing in
cool.
And my husband plays the bass, right? And I also sing in church. And I do that because I just enjoy using my gift to bring joy to people. And that satisfies me in a deep way. You know, and I write books and I write articles for different magazines and newspapers and publications. I love writing. I mean, I can sit down and just write about anything because I used to be a journalist.
Right.
So that helps me express another aspect of my creativity. And sometimes I get paid for it. A lot of times I just do it because, you know.
Yeah, it feeds you in a certain way.
Yeah, so that's
so do something. Do something that you love to do.
Yeah, do something.
And multiple things.
Yeah, do multiple things that you love to do, so that when you lose one, you haven't lost all of you. You've got these other things, two things going. In fact, I've got Swedish friends who hold three jobs. So and they're exploring. So in the event that they decide they're not going to do one, there's still income coming from two, and they have the chance to explore and do a third new thing.
Wow.
There's no such thing as it's too late for me to take on a new job now, because you're not dependent on just the one thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the other thing is, coming back to the LinkedIn profile, right? Update your LinkedIn page to reflect the sum of your experiences and who you are, not just your job title at the moment. In fact, just 2 weeks back, I attended a talk at LinkedIn on how to rock your profile. And this was what the lady said. She said, people make the mistake of putting exactly what they're doing now. But when people are hiring...
Senior vice president of this, that, and the other, right?
Yes. When people are hiring, they're looking for people who are more holistic. Because it's easy to find somebody who has the right skills to do something, but it's hard to find somebody who's got the heart, the love, the passion to go beyond that thing. And they'd rather hire the second person who can go beyond, who brings this wealth of experience beyond just the specified skill set.
Yeah, so that would go more toward what you do to solve a problem or what you do to contribute in the corporate sphere.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Like for myself, I've got job designations. I put award-winning creative director, global keynote speaker, and then I put notorious rule breaker, which gets me a lot of coffee time with a lot of startup heads, which is what I wanted.
There you go. Uma Rudchia, global keynote speaker, best-selling author. How do people find you and find what you're doing?
Go to www.umarud, that's R-U-D-D, okay. umarudchia.com.
Awesome. Thanks so much for being with us this morning on Weekend Mornings.
Thank you.
Great to see you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.